Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today we have the great privilege of celebrating the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Feast of Corpus Christi, as it's traditionally called. And I thought it would be appropriate, especially on this day in particular, to comment on all the political and social unrest in society. Obviously, it's been going on a lot in the news. There were even more things going on last night, if you caught the news this morning. And naturally, this causes a lot of fear and anxiety in citizens, in people. Even if you're just generally aware of what's going on, it looks very, very bad. I'm not saying it isn't bad, but it certainly looks bad. The riots, the killing, the political war, the social war, the problems that are actually pulling people apart and driving to these conflicts, and nobody seems to know how to resolve them, and naturally that can elicit fear and anxiety in us. Is it going to come to Lincolnton? How bad will it be? Is it going to affect the whole culture? Who's going to get elected in the next elections? You know, all of these issues come to the fore, and we all have different opinions about how we think it needs to be worked out or who should fix it. Everybody has their own opinions and views on this. But ultimately, we do need to ask the question, who has the power to affect real change in society? And you might think that I'm going to tell you it's God. And of course it is. You know, that's clearly the point. But I mean on a natural level, right? On a social or political level, who has the power to affect change? And it's not you. As much as people would like to say, oh, you the voter, you the individual, you the citizen have the power, that's baloney. You have little to no power, which is why you're afraid, right? That's where the anxiety comes from. It's just a socialistic lie to say that the peon of a culture has power. That's like saying the children in your family have power over the parents. It goes against nature. We have no real power, none whatsoever. Even the power to vote is minuscule in comparison. So what do we do? Do we simply give in to fear and anxiety? Because ultimately, it's the people in power, presidents, governors, senators, judges, and even people in social power. These are individuals who own news networks, media outlets, who control, you know, internet and things like this. These are the real people in power who make or break politics and make or break cultures. Not you and I. I'm not saying we can't influence, but we have little to no power. They're the ones who are bringing this about. Now, only God can judge who in what way is completely responsible, but they're the only ones who can stop it. And that's why people are afraid. That's why people are anxious, because they know deep down that they have no power at all to affect this. And that's what's leading, on one level, to some of these riots and things. It's because people have no power, and so they're like children throwing a temper tantrum. It's just violent and deadly. So what do we do about it? What do we as believers, as Christians, do about this? Should we fall into that same anxiety and fear? Well, of course not. And the very simple reason why we should have faith and trust and not be concerned at all for this upheaval is because of one passage in the Holy Scriptures. One passage. It says that the hearts of the powerful are in the hand of God, and he directs them wherever he wills. It's a very simple quote. The hearts of the powerful are in the hand of God, and he directs them wherever he wills. And so the natural question should be, well, why is God directing the hearts of the powerful towards this kind of chaos? He seems to be, and I don't necessarily disagree with that analysis. So why? And it's not just societally. Even in the church, even in our own church, what do we see among the Pope and the bishops? This conflict, this war, if you will. These disagreements and these separations. Why would God be willing this? Well, before I answer that question, I want to remind you of the fact that God doesn't need a virtuous person to do his will. And especially those who possess power, he doesn't need them to have the right intention. And the easiest example to use, as I've often used before, is Pontius Pilate. He was a Roman governor of Judea, was not a Jew, was certainly not a disciple of Jesus Christ, was probably an atheist. And when Jesus was brought before him and he decided to have him crucified, what was his reason? Well, he didn't want the Jews to rebel because that would get him in trouble with Caesar, so it's political and self-interested. Now, he knew Jesus was an innocent man, so he's willing to put an innocent man to death, and he has the power to do it, just so he doesn't have a problem in his politics and in his social responsibilities. And yet, Pontius Pilate did the will of the Father. He had all the wrong intentions. All the wrong intentions. In fact, he sinned for his part. But the consequence was actually the will of God, because it was the Father who wanted Jesus crucified so that he could save us from our sins. See, it's a perfect example of the fact that the hearts of the powerful are in the hand of God, and he directs them wherever he will. Now, how many Christians at the time, especially the apostles, thought that Pontius Pilate was doing the will of the Father? None of them. Probably only the Blessed Mother really understood. But afterward, after the resurrection, then it made sense. Then they could look back and see, oh, that's what God was doing. Now I see. So for our part, we have to have faith and trust that whatever happens because of these powerful individuals throughout the world over whom we have little to no influence or control, we need not worry because their hearts are in God's hands and he directs them according to his will for our good and for the salvation of souls. Now, that doesn't mean the story ends there. It actually gets much better than this. So if the hearts of the powerful are in the hand of God, who holds God's heart? Who can direct the heart of God? And this is a very important question. And I'm not saying, again, God. Obviously, God directs his own heart. Jesus directs the heart of the Father. Obviously, that's the case. But I mean on earth. Who directs the heart of God on earth? Who says, God, would you work here? God, would you bless that? Well, first and foremost, it is the priest. It is the Catholic priest who directs the heart of God. And he does it very simply in offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, why does this offering, the sacrifice of the Mass, influence the heart of God so profoundly? We know simply God is love. God is love. And so anyone who loves is begotten of God. No one on earth has loved like God incarnate, like Jesus Christ. And the act of love, the supreme act of love, is the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which he offered in the Mass, in the Last Supper. The Last Supper is the sacrifice of the cross and the resurrection from the dead. So if that's the perfect act of love from God and man to God, then could anything in this world please God as much as the offering of the Mass? Nothing. Nothing makes him happier. Nothing does greater good in the world or give God more glory than the offering of the Holy Mass, because it is the offering of Jesus Christ himself. And only the ordained priest can offer it. No one else. Only the ordained priest. Only he has been given the power to please God through this holy offering. This is why he offers it on behalf of the people of God, so that they too would be pleasing to God. He doesn't do it alone. He does it in union with the body of Christ. Now, you don't offer the Mass. None of you have any power to do it. Try as you might, You cannot please God as a priest can, because you cannot offer the holy sacrifice. However, that does not mean that you are not priests yourselves. And if you remember your theology, when you were baptized, you're baptized into the life of Christ, the complete life of Christ, priest, prophet, and king. Now, you are not ordained to holy priesthood. That's a level of priesthood above the baptized. But you possess the priesthood of Christ as one of the baptized, as one of the redeemed. And what does that mean? So you cannot offer the body of Christ in the Holy Mass to the pleasure of God the Father. You can't please him and direct his heart in that way. But you, united in the body of Christ through baptism, who receive the body of Christ in the Eucharist worthily and well, can offer yourselves. You can actually offer yourselves, united with Christ, as a priestly offering which pleases the Father. And how do you do that? Well, in a very similar way to the Mass. You are like the bread and the wine, so to speak, right? And whenever you suffer, as Jesus said, whenever you bear a cross each day, if you unite that with him and offer it to God, it's a pleasing sacrifice. It's your priestly offering. And that's how you please God. And this is how we, the body of Christ, actually possess the heart of the Father in our hand. And how we, through our intentions, direct it according to our will. Now, our will should never be contrary to the will of God, of course. It cannot be. But we need to realize, we need to recognize the influence we have over God. And this is why priests have intentions for Mass. Because when I offer the holy sacrifice, I have a special intention, oftentimes from you, for which I offer the sacrifice. Now, at each Mass, I can take as many intentions as you want, so you can send a lot of intentions my way, but there's usually one special one that I have. And so much of the grace of the sacrifice, much of the pleasing fragrance as it rises to heaven, directs the heart of the Father towards that intention. You do the same thing. Whenever you are offering a spiritual sacrifice of yourself through something you are suffering, at home, at work, on the road, wherever, you offer it to the Father and you have an intention in your mind. And right now it's very clear that one of the greatest intentions we need to have is for peace in the world, peace in our society, that these problems would be resolved according to God's will in whatever way he sees fit. He knows what's best. And through our priestly offering, we direct the heart of the Father, and he, who has the hearts of the powerful in his hand, will then direct them according to our good. So we don't need to worry about trying to make political or social change. Really, none of that matters. We just need to stay close to Jesus in the Eucharist. We just need to learn to offer our own sacrifices in union with his. And if we do that, everything else is taken care of. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.